Good morning, good afternoon, everybody. This is Mike Versace from the Wikibon Project. Welcome to our Peer Insight session today. The session is entitled Information Governance, Achieving Transparency Through Records Management. And our guest for the call today is Mr. Don Martin. Don is with the Department of Veteran Affairs, the Veteran Health Administration, Office of Medical Inspector. Don is a records officer for the VHA, an archivist, and has responsibility for extending some of his records management responsibilities into the area of privacy and security for certain medical records under the purview of the VHA. I'll ask Don to for a bit more of a complete introduction in a couple of minutes. Also on the call today, we have the pleasure of a couple of participants, two additional participants who have been with us on Wikibon Peer Insight calls in the past to talk about this topic of information management and specifically about strategic information frameworks. These two experts are from the energy sectors, both in Canada and in the U.S. We have Ms. Jennifer Winch from PG&E and also Mr. Sam McCollum from NMAX, NMAX Corporation. So welcome, Jennifer, welcome, Sam, and welcome, Don.
Thank you.
As our guest for
Thank
the call
you.
Today. Yeah, very good. Just a few housekeeping reminders for everyone before we begin. I would just ask that everyone on the call, when they can, please keep your phones on mute by hitting star 6, and then unmute is pound 6. Also, this call is being recorded, as we always do with Peer Insight sessions, and we will be posting content from this call and also a podcast cast mashup from the call shortly after. We tried to hit a 48-hour window for getting all the content put together by Wikibon from the call, and should be able to do it for this call today. So again, welcome everybody, and thanks for your participation. The premise for the call is pretty simple, as you've seen in our announcement, is, you know, by all accounts, this digital deluge continues unabated across most enterprises today. We all know about the growth in electronic content from structured to unstructured data to digitized physical records, creating, you know, architecture challenges as organizations pursue this goal of aligning information, this big growth of information, with business value creation. And this premise is supported by the fact that records management systems are a center post, are center post to this information architecture. We'll discuss this on the call today, the role of records management in harnessing digital information, the convergence of records management and information governance across all forms of physical and electronic content, and with the practitioners that we have on the call today, some of the key challenges and lessons learned from how we've built legacy record systems, legacy and siloed approaches. So to start with the call, Don Martin from the VHA. Don, if you would just spend a minute giving us a bit of your background and your role as the archivist at the VHA. Maybe you can start with that.
All right. Well, I had a particularly miserable supervisor who stuck me with the task of archiving in 2003. Put me in my place, I think was his intention. And so I've been doing it ever since 2003. What I had at the beginning was essentially a room with four lectrievers, one of which was ours. Our lectriever was mostly filled with small boxes of documents. Boxes at least were case by case, more or less, although some boxes contain multiple cases. Then the rest of the room was variously filled with more boxes of stuff, paper. Now, we're required to keep in the VA a paper archive. I know it sounds old-fashioned, but that's the law. So this paper needed to be obviously sorted. Most of it needed to be destroyed because it consisted of personal medical records of individual veterans, which the medical centers out in the field are required to keep for 50 years anyway. So there was no need for our office to maintain this class of records. I estimate that I shredded maybe 800 cubic feet of paper after sorting. At any rate, we also have the obviously with any records system, we needed to be able to retrieve documents as needed. Every once in a while, some Congress critter will ask the medical inspector about a particular case, and the medical inspector needs to refresh his mind with what went on there, so we produce the documents for his use, etc. Obviously, when they're all cardboard boxes, that was an impossibility. We are tasked by the records control schedule of the government to get rid of records after a certain period of time. We have two classes. One is a straight investigation where we don't leave the office, we review the records and things like that, and conduct telephone interviews with people wherever the problem is. Incident, I suppose I should mention that mine is a small office. We have 19 people. We are the office in the VA that if something bad happens to you medically in a VA medical center, we are the ones who will look into it. We get referrals directly from veterans, from families, from veteran service organizations, etc. So we're only medical. We are not, many people confuse us with the Inspector General. The Inspector General is more of a law enforcement, fraud, waste, and abuse. We don't do that. We look for deviations from good practice, the things that medical practitioners do that they ought not to do. And we report then to the Undersecretary for Health, and our reports also go to the Veterans Affairs Committees in both houses of Congress. Anyway, that said, when we just do an in-house investigation of a case, we are required to keep those records for 10 years. If we do a site visit, we are required to keep the records of that site visit for 20 years. Obviously, both classes are destroyed after their retention time is up. Let's see.
Don, with that, when you talk about the retention requirements that you have, do you have different retention requirements for the electronic version of these records versus
No.
physical?
The records control schedule applies to everything we have, electronic and paper.
So you don't make a differentiation between your archiving requirements for paper versus electronic version.
No. The only thing that is retained when we destroy a file is the metadata of the case folder.
And can you tell us a little bit about what that metadata includes? Just some general
Well,
attributes.
it will include the veteran's name, it will include the medical center involved, it will include case notes actually that are put into the notes field. Obviously, it includes things like dates. And that sort of stuff. It gives you essentially a summary of what the case was.
And if you've destroyed these as physical records, do you maintain this metadata electronically?
Electronically only, yes.
Oh, okay, electronically only. Very good.
Well, of course, the first task I was faced with, apart from the brute sorting of the stuff, was figuring out how to docket the records, how to set them up so you could retrieve them. And I invented my own system that I put on, I used HTML coding so all of our investigators who had looked at essentially the metadata for the records on our shared drive using their browsers. And I did a bunch of paper that way. And then we got our document management system, which thankfully sort of sorted and characterized things just as I had been doing it anyway. So it was a fairly easy transition for me to simply go over to the electronic format that was and not have to do HTML coding anymore. Now we have a much more standardized electronic indexing system for all of the paper we are required to keep. In addition, very significant documents like frequently the initial complaint, things like peer reviews of providers' performance, stuff like that, will be scanned electronically into the document management system. So we'll have both the paper and the electronic version. Less significant paper will simply be indexed, but not necessarily scanned.
Now, as you're in your profession and in your role, I wanted to ask you a question about a couple of terms you've used and ask you if you could maybe differentiate between them for the listeners. So we've talked a little bit about records management, and you have an infrastructure that supports records management. You've also spoken about document management, and I hear that as being something different than records management. Can you talk about that a little bit?
No, I will tend to use them interchangeably. I am not a formally trained records manager. I am simply a schlep that got stuck with the job and has been working at it ever since. So I'm a little loose sometimes in my vocabulary. Obviously, every file is a record, and it is, to my mind, a document because I come from a lit background, and documents are documents. So I'm sorry if I've set up any confusion.
No confusion. I guess what the point I was trying to get to is the attributes that you think are important or the features or functions you think are important to a records management system, and how those might be different from all of these content repositories that exist, probably not certainly not just within your organization, but with organizations around the globe.
Well, you know, first of to me greatest importance is retrieving particular records.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, the management system we have is very good at that because I practice and encourage my people to use full descriptive titles of things. The point of it is anyone in the office can look at a case and they look at all the documents or the records within the case and figure out, do I need to see the whole thing from what the title tells me? And that's a step up. Let me backtrack for just a second because there was something else that I inherited. And that was a former so-called documents management system that consisted of a contractor, a scanner that scanned very quickly, and had, now I will make a distinction, pages, over 700,000 pages, all images. Now, trying to find anything in that was a mess. It was easy to get into, but hard to get anything out. We're asked by Congress whether we'd ever investigated anything to do with smoking, and the only way we're able to find one instance of smoking that we had investigated, we found by tracking down the person who handled the case. The indexing system of this scanning device was utterly useless. So I had that. That system has since been dismantled and shredded itself. But that being able to retrieve, I can retrieve pretty much any document requested within probably 5 minutes.
Now, the retrieval piece is certainly very important, but what about some of the upfront functions or features, the ability to classify, the ability to index? Where do you place those on the scale of?
Well, you know, here's one of the the problems. The ability to classify is, I think, resident in the brain of the person doing the classification. The management system has different sorts of folders for different sorts of investigations, so that takes care of that part of it. But, pardon me, I mean, the very problem with the scanning system was that the classification and then the indexing or keywording, whatever it was, a keyworded system, was done by the GS7 or whoever was putting the papers on the conveyor belt. So it was markedly inefficient and lacked great detail.
So you're saying that classification is important. The process of doing it manually is inefficient, is error-prone, and will produce most likely sort of incomplete or inconclusive results.
It was. I think the dream of managers, not records managers, but the suits, is in the matter of archiving, or at least it used to be, or records keeping, is to find something that can be done cheaply by a low GS level. In other words, something a peasant can handle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it just doesn't work well that way, because peasants really aren't all that good at sorting stuff out and figuring out what's significant and what is not.
But are you then making a case for automation?
No, I'm making almost the opposite case, because it was this interest in peasant labor that led to the this adoption of the automated system that's just going to do everything for us. Well, it doesn't, and that's the problem.
What about, could you speak a couple of minutes about policy management as a as an attribute of a records management system that's important, the ability to extend, for example, the policy, the retention, and maybe it's the indexing policy, maybe it's retention, maybe it's a classification policy, being able to extend the policy, the records management policy, from the records management platform out to where the environments where the information or the data is created?
I'm not entirely sure I'm following your question. I'm mostly interested in policies here in this government situation. We have policies are applied to us, chief of which are things like security and making sure that the private information of individuals is not violated or anything like that. We have set policies internally regarding putting documentation in TRIM, and I work with people so they get it in the right place, they get it well labeled, etc., well named, and that sort of thing. But you know, I'm hearing when you're saying policy a rather broader spectrum thing than I do in my little world.
Well, I think what enterprises are looking for is the ability to have a policy of records management and to try to extend that policy out to where information is created. So, as an example, we understand, Don, there's some move toward the use of SharePoint as a content platform as VHA. But the ability then for the records management platform to say, okay, for certain content that's being placed in the SharePoint environment, that content will be looked at, and if that content matches a certain policy for retention based on whatever indexing, keywords, metadata, that content will be brought into the records management environment and considered an official record of the VHA.
Okay, well, within that framework, our policy really is that the individual case, the individual complaint, determines A, what we do about it, and B, what its retention is. And the retention schedule is applied on a case-by-case basis. So all the documents within a case where there's no site visit are gone in 10 years, et cetera. Pardon me. One policy that we have put in is simply insisting that people get their stuff into the document management system. In the past, this has been difficult. It's getting better. People who are shaky in their English prefer to keep their stuff offline until they don't have any choice anymore.
And what is offline done?
Offline is not available for anyone else to see, including the boss.
Okay.
And even other investigators. Our people here are mostly physicians and very high-level nurses, supported by some statisticians and a small administrative staff. So, now, as far as the SharePoint, that is, I really have to see how it's going to be applied. The VA has mandated that each office have a SharePoint site. However, I have to get much more familiar with how SharePoint deals with security issues. Who gets to look at this stuff? Right now, with our current system, only people in the office can see the records in our system.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have access. So we know that the records are secure. Right now, if the people are working, you know, in Schenectady or someplace, they're accustomed to sending documents in for entry into TRIM via encrypted email. And that's secure, and then I get it in, and, you know, everything works fine. Or they can put it in themselves, usually. Pardon me. I'm not used to talking all this much at this time of day. That's an issue. I am looking forward to, as various people conduct business via SharePoint and other SharePoint sites, that they'll be able to put whatever they've written or sent out that is significant to a case in our management system. That will enhance our business right there.
So you see different, let me ask you a question rather than put words in your mouth. Do you see a different role to the VHA for the SharePoint platform versus the records management platform? You see these platforms serving?
I see them as separate things.
Right.
SharePoint lets you pass stuff around easily over a wide range of offices and people. Our records management system lets you pass records around within our office, period. these are the official ones. SharePoint has some conveniences to it, but I think it also has some risks, and as I said, I need to study it more closely to know whether I'm entirely comfortable with doing anything with it.
Excellent. Good perspective. Thank you. I want to shift gears just quickly for a couple of minutes. So you and I spoke, Don, about a legacy electronic record system that the VHA uses, a system called VISTA, which holds electronic medical records. And I'm wondering if you could, so it's a legacy system serving, and maybe you can give us some background on that, but if you could maybe speak about some lessons learned at the VHA from using a system like that that could be used with this newer information, electronic information management environment that's growing up around SharePoint and other things at the VHA.
Sure. Let me, just for the people who are not familiar with VHA, VISTA is one of the reasons why our patients live longer than patients in private care in the USA. Yeah. We have a system where if you're a veteran, if you go to, say, Boston Medical Center, and you take a vacation to Phoenix, fall down, break your leg, you go to the Phoenix Medical Center, the docs there can call up your records on screen immediately and go through, you know, oh, he's sensitive to this medication, he can't, you know, he's had one of these operations in the past, etc. They have it all right in front of them. And that permits them to care for you more appropriately. Now, the legacy part of VISTA is that it was literally done in the back rooms or the basements by dedicated IT guys who were operating in violation of IT's regulations. We have an overall God-in-the-sky IT department here at Central Office. And each one wanted to have a records management system for his medical center. And as they went along, they started joining these and figuring and writing bridging code so they could share them between medical centers, and the thing spread. VA Central Office tried to kill it and failed. They tried to replace it with off-the-shelf systems, and they didn't work as well as what these people had done. Now, what the result of this, you know, the strength is, you can find out any veteran, anybody in the system. Not all veterans, incidentally, are registered with the VHA. But anybody in the system, you can find his medical record. Drawback, you need to know where he goes, what medical center he uses. Because since these were developed at individual centers, they continue to be indexed according to the patients of those individual centers. So if you come in, I say, Versace, okay, you're in Boston, okay, fine, gotcha. But if a guy comes in unconscious and nobody knows where he goes to his medical center, then it's not so good. We can't, you know, we can get his driver's license, we know his name, we can put the name in, but unless we have the medical center, the name alone isn't going to get us to his records.
So some lessons learned relative to indexing, right, in the way records are indexed and retrievable, right?
Mm-hmm. You need, you know, if we were doing it again or today, we would undoubtedly set up a global indexing system where you could start with the individual and probably in a social, which is what we use, and call up not only all of his records, but all of the medical centers he's attended. It's not unusual for some people to have moved around a lot now, have 6 or 8 medical centers where they have records sitting.
So this idea of global indexing is a notion maybe that you would carry forward to the way the SharePoint systems are established and the way they interface with the official record system of the VHA.
If SharePoint is indeed suitable for what VISTA does, which is deal raw patient records, progress reports, day-to-day chem labs, the whole schmear, and deal with it in such a way that the privacy constraints and the security are maintained, then it may be a good thing.
Got it. What else? Other lessons learned from the development and deployment of that legacy system?
Well, another problem is, you know, inherent from having different people do different things. The version, there are subroutines and there are sub front ends to the VISTA system, and the one we have in the office is called Capri, which if you've ever worked in a DOS environment, it'll look very familiar to you, because it is DOS essentially. Now, the downside of Capri is that it doesn't carry images. The full VISTA system that is up and running in medical centers, you can not only see all of the progress notes and things that we look at, but the guy had an x-ray taken in 95, there it is on your screen. He had a MRI back in 2002, there it is. We have to, if we want to see the films, because of offshoot front end we have to ask the medical center to send us copies, which obviously is slow and expensive. That, you know, come FedEx.
Well, I think that will get to my last question, and then I want to move on this.
Anything to get me to shut up, I know.
No, not at all. You've been very gracious with your comments. The idea of linking or merging or connecting, I'll call the physical, the digitized physical information, right, with truly electronic information, the information that was created digitally and is maintained digitally. Do you see opportunities to do that, and where might those opportunities be? Do you see the need to do that?
Oh, well, yeah. Every document in my archive, every piece of paper, or collection of pieces of paper, is marked with its case number or file and its file number, document mm-hmm. number. And that's done in red in the lower left-hand corner, typically. So it's standardized because, you know, you can look it up. You can look up anything in the electronic index, but putting your hands on the paper, which is frequently what we have to do, for instance, with a FOIA request, it means you need to be sure you got the right pages.
What about the connection, though? I think what I was speaking to was more the connection between the electronic medical records, let's say those records that might be in Vista, and any case-related records that had been digitized by your office.
Well, the medical records we get from Vista are the ones that we will typically shred as soon as we're done with the case. The case records we generate in the office will be summaries of the progress reports, et cetera, or observations, whatever, information developed from the Vista material. But the Vista material, as I say, its paper needs to be kept by the medical center so we can get rid of it when we're done using it. Go ahead.
No, you get that in paper versus electronic.
Basically, they look at the screen and they say, "Okay, I want to print this section of records," and they print it. So we're looking at the electronic and printing it to paper.
Got it. Okay, very good. All right, well, that's excellent, Don. Thanks for your comments. I'd like to maybe shift gears a little bit, and I think we have Sam McCollum on the line also. Sam, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Sam, good to speak with you again. As I mentioned, Sam McCollum is from NMEX up in Calgary. And Sam, as well as Jennifer, have been with us on a prior call talking about strategic information management frameworks and some of the challenges associated with unstructured data, unstructured information. Sam's been doing some work working with ARMA on the ARMA maturity model, and using that model as a basis for information governance, as an information governance tool. And Sam, it would be great to spend a couple of minutes with us on that topic.
Okay. My previous experience for about the last 20 years has been in records management, doing a lot of the stuff that Don has already been talking about. About 2 years ago, my responsibility switched to IT because of some concerns over governance of all information. Since that time, I've been more involved with records management policy than the actual operations of the records management facilities. One of the big concerns is, when you look at governance, how do you come up with a standard, one, that's at a high enough level to cover everything, and two, will meet any say, future concerns that people might have? ARMA came out with, in the third and fourth quarter of last year, a document which is, I think, a real godsend to anybody who works with records management. And that is a set of metrics called GARP, which is Generally Accepted Record Keeping Principles. They deal with 8 different standards related to how to govern the flow of information: accountability, transparency, integrity, protection, compliance, availability, retention, and disposition. Then they went one step further. They took those evaluation criteria and put them in a maturity model. Now, anybody who's working in governance knows that ultimately you do all your governance based on maturity models, which say if you're at this level 1, you've got a long way to go. If you're at level 5, you're superhuman. The idea is to get into that level 3. What we did was we took that maturity model and then gradually worked from level 1 upwards, and as long as we got a yes answer, we kept on going up. In some cases, we found that we were at a level 2 and a bit. In some cases, we were down to level 1. Mainly, it had to do with management electronic documents and how we were doing those. In some cases, we were at level 3 and couldn't quite get past that. What we then did is we took that information and came up with a set of action plans. In our case, we had about 36 different concerns that we needed to address. We took those action plans and said, okay, what are the basic concerns here? Like a whole being one, disposition being another, management of email, e-discovery, data mapping. And I was then tasked with doing research on the internet, research anywhere I could, to come up with a position paper for each of those. In some cases, it was quite easy. In the case of legal holds, ARMA had come out with 7 steps for legal holds, one of the best documents I've ever seen on how to do legal holds, about 150 pages, which we distilled down into 10 pages of here's a need, here's the deliverables, who's accountable for them, and what we want to achieve. Then those, over the next year and a half, I have 3, 4, 5, 7 separate position papers that need to be developed. As each one is developed, then they're sent to the people who are responsible. In this case, legal holds goes to the VP of legal. He will look at it and say, yes, we can do this. Here's some problems. Here's some resource. And we develop a strategy of how we're going to implement that particular position. Once that's it, we find we have the resources, we have the money, and we have demand slash desire, then we'll develop the policies and procedures and training based on that.
Sam, let me ask to stop and ask you a question, if I could.
Yeah.
So generally accepted record-keeping principles, what do you see as a practitioner as one of the major technological, and I know it's not all technology, but what do you see as one of the major technological challenges in implementing those principles at a maturity level that you are comfortable with?
Well, on all of these, our biggest focus has not been hard copy records. It's been electronic documents, especially unstructured electronic documents.
Sure.
The difference being that hard copy records, we have good control over. They're created, they come to us, we can manage them. The problem with unstructured electronic documents is they're a little bit like SharePoint sites. People create them themselves. There's little enterprise control over them, and they sort of sprout all over the place. Finding a way to manage that electronic information so that we can apply the governance and the principles at a corporate level has been our biggest challenge.
Just to go one level deeper of that, so where does the challenge begin? Certainly it begins with the ability for users that are creating content to understand the policy, right? To understand the policy for creating, storing, securing, and all of those things that go into information management. Would you agree?
Yeah. In fact, you've hit the key secret to the success we've had with ECM. Currently, the idea is the classification or the way in which the policy is applied is either done by the individual and it's not his core responsibility and competency at all, or it's done by the RM Center, who needs to have a huge staff to do it. Neither one of those is a practical answer. What we've done is we've created, under a mandate we got from our executive VP, is we are to do this without adding any more load on individuals. So that meant that the classification and the policies behind them had to be invisible to the person who is actually taking a folder and taking a document and putting it in the right folder. What we've done is, as we have each department go on an ECM software package, we work with them, look at their information flows, create a first and second level folder structure, and then after that they can do what they like because the rest of the folder is inherited. And the individual says, I have an invoice, here's a folder named invoices, I put it in there. All of the policy and all of the retention and disposition and everything else is done behind the scenes because it's tied to the folder itself and the user doesn't have to worry about it.
Very good. Excellent. I'd like to thank Sam for that, and we'll get to some more questions in a minute. I just might note that on the write-ups that we come up with from this call today, we'll make sure that we include the links to ARMA and the generally accepted record-keeping principles, which I would agree are very important, as Sam has mentioned. I want to just move just very quickly. Jennifer, I know PG&E, you are very much behind this this role of policy in making an effective information governance program happen in a large enterprise like yourself. Could you maybe share with us a couple of your perspectives on policy and related technologies for pushing it out to the end user?
Well, we're a heavy user of SharePoint. We do have a formal EDMS system, which is not SharePoint. SharePoint's used primarily for sharing documents, but also it's kind of de facto for document collection. We do have a lot of policies that have been implemented around particular types of information. Anything pertaining, anything that's governed by regulation has to be handled in a particular way. And so that information is dealt with somewhat differently. But as Sam brought up, you just with unstructured data, you can end up with something of a digital landfill circumstance. And ideally, you want to try to minimize the number of duplicate copies you have of anything. SharePoint can be very useful for that. You can build certain folder structure, or you design documents. You set up documents so they're attached to, they're built into custom lists, and so that you can use the lists for organizing related files around some kind of core entity, and use that to at least collect things in a particular place. But instead of attaching copies of documents to emails so that they, somebody saves them, they maybe change a few things, and then then more copies are made. We're getting people to just put a canonical copy on the SharePoint and then just send links. But everybody knows what the primary document is in that case.
So it sounds like you're moving toward an environment where a certain component of your SharePoint implementation will constitute official records of the business.
Certain types of records, the things that, and certain, at least for where we are, the Sarbanes-Oxley records, NERC records, things like that have to be handled within the formal EDMS system because you can really lock that down. SharePoint is a little more flexible, although security can be controlled by group access policies. But in general, we do limit the types of records you can have on SharePoint. Certain things are not allowed to go there, at least once they're fully developed. At that point, it moves into the formal EDMS system.
Got it.
Which is different.
It.
SharePoint sort of for, at least here, for development and collaboration. But the, you know, your granularity of control gets better with every successive implementation of SharePoint. We're looking forward to getting access to SharePoint 2010.
Oh, very good. All right, excellent. Good. So thank you. Thank the three of you, Don and Sam and Jennifer, for your comments. Let me just open it up to the Wikibon community for some questions. Are some questions we want to ask our guests today? I have a couple, so additional ones to maybe get some things started with. Let's see. Well, let me see. I know, Gary McFadden is on the line from Wikibon, and maybe I could pose one question that he might want to field first, and then if others have some thoughts on it, it would be great. I know, Gary, you've written about some of the challenges you have seen in information governance relative to technologies, and I was wondering if you could cover just a couple of those quick bullets for everyone and maybe share your point of view for the next couple of minutes.
Okay, well, thanks, Mike, and thank you to Sam and Jennifer and to Don. A lot of the information that that I've been writing about really comes from people like Don and Jennifer and Sam, my interactions with folks that are actually knee-deep in dealing with records management policies and also trying to manage SharePoint sites and the disparity of and perhaps in some cases the lack of interoperability between solutions that are out there. And I guess in looking at this and for the last 12 years or so, one of the biggest issues is that the more complex the environment, the more point solutions seem to be have been implemented in the organizations. And I want to stress that the records management side of the house is really important in terms of providing framework for policy and policy management and governance. I agree with Sam that that the GARP is really a good foundation for helping to define what the needs are of the corporation from a records management and governance perspective. But specifically, there are a few points that that users have brought up to me that they continue to have concerns with. The first is the integration and the interoperability. There are no end-to-end solutions. We've talked about this, it seems, ad nauseum, but there are some vendors out there that have done a reasonably good job of integrating the various solutions out there, or building connectors to ECMs and to records management solutions and so forth that that will help to aid the interoperability between disparate systems and allow things like a records management solution to work well with or an ECM to work well with SharePoint. And then Don brought up the whole point about finding and indexing and searching. Boy, is that a case study for what's happened, the evolution of these types of systems. 10 years ago, it was enough to just put stuff in a, put records that were physical records or create electronic records and just store them, and now the emphasis really has gone from a governance perspective to be able to find, index, and search, as well as being able to classify and categorize or classify and then also secure those records. Don also mentioned the HIPAA requirements and so forth, and Jennifer mentioned the FERC or the different federal energy requirements and so forth that the utility companies have to go through. Sam did not mention it, but Canada has its own HIPAA and also energy requirements and so forth. So trying to manage all these and then also properly dispose of information, I mean, provide a proper disposition, if you will, that is to secure and index and classify, as I mentioned, but also Jennifer mentioned a little bit of trying to cut down on the copies, multiple copies of documents and so forth. So these are the types of issues that users have been coming to me with. That, just to sum up again, the integration and interoperability issues, the find, index, and search issues, the auto classification and data categorization issues, and then also the disposition of information for the purposes of gaining some insight, whether that's in a medical case to determine, as Don had mentioned, whether there was some improper medical procedure or inappropriate medical procedure that was performed, or in the case of utility industry, making sure that the requirements of that industry are taken care of, and then basically trying to improve, to have a continuous improvement process going on. As Sam mentioned, the maturity model and trying to apply that and making sure that that corporations continually improve their governance, which I define very simply as the confluence, if you will, of business best practices, technology, and the services that that meet the compliance, legal, regulatory, security requirements and organizational goals of an entity while providing a means to access and manage data in order to transform it into some useful information. I'll throw it back to you now, Mike.
Yep.
So, Mike,
comments?
Can I make a comment, Mike?
Sure.
We have been talking about the policy and the strategic information management, the technology end. One of the things that we've discovered here is that there's a third leg to that, which is really quite important, and we've been trying to get the vendor to help us with that, and that is best explained in an example where we go back to our customers, and instead of using the search mechanism, they're still running down through the tree to try to find a folder. In other words, what's happening is we have to change the way they think and the methods they use to use that technology to be most effective. And so there's that education slash training. Training is the technical part of it, but the education is really getting people to think differently. And vendors can help us do that, but they have to think more than just teaching us how to use the product.
So it's the human capital component, Sam, that you're speaking about, that enables good governance just as much as good business process and good technology.
Yeah, in fact, without that human factor, the other two are useless.
Absolutely. Very good. Good point. Excellent point, Sam. Thank you. Any comments on the human capital point that Sam's raising?
No, I think it's an excellent point. If you don't know how to use the technology, if you don't know how they're integrated, it's not going to be of any benefit to the company to have it. It's essential, and very often training is the first thing to go when budgets get tight, and it's really unfortunate because it's essential to having anything work effectively.
Beautiful point. Excellent. We've got about 5 minutes left. I had one more, and it's sort of a big question, so I'm going to hold it off until unless there are no other questions. Are there other questions that we want to ask our guests today?
This is David Flyer. I have a question about capturing classification at the origin when the file is actually created, and whether that's feasible or what technologies would need to be put in place to make that feasible. It always strikes me that if you can capture it then when the user is actually doing it, then it's more efficient. Any comments on that or any observations?
That's if you have a policy established about particular types of records, particular types of files. I mean, there's a difference between information and records. Records are a subset of information. If the policy pertaining to that is understood, then and you know how a particular file at that point is going to be handled, whether it necessarily needs to immediately be put into the EDMS system upon completion. That's where you start. If you have a policy established and a tool that automatically will pull the document into a system and then handle it from there, that also makes a difference. But it all comes down to having the policy established in the first place and having people know what the policy is.
And if I could add something to that, Sam here. An automatic system will not work completely automated system because it depends on keywords and learning and so on. In the end, it's the individual who has to do it. Whether it's a document or a record, when the individual saves it, he's going to, in most cases, save it in a folder. If the procedures and the rules are tied to the folder, then whether the individual knows it or not, the minute he puts it in the folder that says invoices, he's already done the classification and the proper sorting and management.
But it still comes back to having the policy established in the first place.
Yeah, and that has to fit behind the folders.
Right, exactly.
The policy dictates how you create the folders and what you do with them.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
David, okay for you?
Yep, thanks.
Yep, well, thank you. Any other questions?
Yes, this is Peter Gailey in Dallas. I have a question for David. For Donald. Donald, you made a comment about retention periods for complaints at 10 years.
Yes.
Is that a federally mandated law?
Yes, it is. It comes to us from above. And each office has a different different retention schedule. It's a very long document. We have one section of it, and that's all I have to worry my pretty little head about.
And is that 10 years from the date the case is closed?
Yes.
And how long would you generally suggest that a case may be open?
Oh, that can vary widely because we don't close our cases until our recommendations have been met by an action plan by the VAMC, and then we follow the efforts of the VAMC to fulfill the action plan, and then there may be objections from some other office, and we deal with those. So a case can be closed within a year. Sometimes it takes 3 years, sometimes four.
So the range would be generally a year to 4 years or so, or 5 years?
Yes.
It, just to add something to that, Don, we use 10 years plus current for anything that has any legal implications. So I would assume that's why you're using the 10 years.
Essentially, yes.
Yeah, you can get a lot of variety, though, on medical records because a lot of the states have their own laws.
And some are 70 years if it's asbestos.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was one of the southern states passed a law basically saying that hospitals had to keep records until the person died. Well, how would you know? You could be born in the one
state. Stopped writing as he did.
It can be quite variable. You could end up having to maintain a record for a century or more.
Right, and Jennifer, you've got the same issues with in the energy field as well, correct?
There's more regulations all the time. As a matter of fact, what I was talking about was not FERC in this case, but NERC, North American Energy. There's a lot of information. There's a lot of brand new specifications around how that information has to be handled, and it's security maintained. It's absolutely essential now.
Well, we're up against the hour. Thank you, Jennifer. And we're up against the hour. So what I'd like to do is conclude the call for today. I would imagine there are still questions. bouncing around in people's minds, and we could probably continue this discussion probably for another hour if we had that scheduled. So I would suggest that we probably have some follow-up calls on Wikibon on this topic as the year progresses. But with that, I'd like to thank Don for being our special guest today. Thank you for sharing your perspectives, and also Sam, you and Jennifer for coming back and giving us an update on your activities in this area of information management and records management. All the content that we produce from this call will be posted up on Wikibon within the week. As most know, we'll be taking some positions relative to the CTO, the CIO, some organizational considerations. What does this all mean to the technology ecosystem? We have a category of content we call getting rid of stuff. You'll probably see some content coming from this call in that category also. And with that, I'd like to thank, again, our participants and thank everyone for participating here with us at Wikibon. Have a great day.